Many different gods are represented here in Olympic Park. All but one are false. Now that might not fit me in the coexist camp, but it is true. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this special edition of Cross Encounters Radio. Shout out to the faithful ones in the chat room who on short notice were able to gather together for this special edition of the program. No, your watch is not wrong. No, your calendar has not failed. No, the Mayans were not right. It is only Tuesday afternoon. It is 1500 hours here in beautiful, sunny Southern California. A balmy 75 degrees, which right now feels like about 110 after being in the 15-degree weather of beautiful Norway for 2 weeks. Rich, I am loving the heat, buddy. It's warm down there, too, isn't it?
Well, I think we got up into the 50s today, but I just have a quick question, and I'm sure your listeners want to know, have your toes thawed out yet?
You know what? I don't know what it was, but I was having, my feet were cold for like 2 weeks before I left for Norway. I don't know if the Lord was preparing me or what, but I had the wool socks going on, and, I went out one morning. The first morning I was there, the sun was starting to rise, the skies were clear, and I thought, you know what, it's probably going to be a pretty nice day. I'm going to go out and take a prayer walk. I'm going to go walk down this road. And I left my hat and my gloves in the room at the conference center. And I got to the furthest point of this walk, and I started to realize that my head and my face and my hands were in pain. And it dawned on me that I am in sub-freezing temperatures, and I'm not wearing a hat or gloves, and things are starting to freeze on this old man. And I was afraid to run because I didn't want to fill up my lungs with ice crystals, you know, and they find one of the speakers at the conferences, you know, conference dead along the side of this desolate road, you know, dead of exposure before the first session. So,
yeah, that wouldn't have been good at all.
That
would not have been, that would not have been good at all.
No, but it would have been an interesting experiment at cryogenics. You know, maybe they could have thawed me out and brought me back to life, you know, like Captain America or something like that. It could happen.
Well, who knows?
I think I read it on the Internet somewhere, and you know everything you read on the Internet is true. So.
Exactly. It has to be, because otherwise they wouldn't allow it to be put out if it was not true.
That's right. All right, bro. Hey, I'm going to let you go line up our first two guests, and I'll let people know what we're doing today. This is a special edition. We are certainly not celebrating a 40th anniversary. We are commiserating over the 40th anniversary of the worst court decision in the history of our country, Roe v. Wade, where the wholesale murder of unborn human beings, unborn people, was determined to be lawful in the United States. Lawful and awful. Some 54, 55 million unborn human beings, unborn people, unborn citizens of the United States have been summarily executed for nothing more than being alive.
Hello, this is the Speeds. May I help you?
Hey, Rich. You're live, buddy. There you go. Brother Rich is just, he's jumped in here in the last minute. Chris couldn't make it today because he's got a real job, unlike people like me. And so, you know, Rich came up with this idea for the show, and Rich's idea was this. He said, Tony, why don't you take a couple of the really good segments from past episodes of Cross Encounters Radio that dealt with abortion, and let's put that together in like a pre-recorded show, and then we'll play that. And I thought, yeah, that sounds great. And then I said, wait a minute. I got like, dozens of friends who are fighting the fight here in this abortion issue. And so last night I tried to put the show together, and we've got six very gracious guests today. It's amazing how the Lord allowed us to put this show together so quickly. And so this entire show is going to be dedicated to the Roe v. Wade decision and its impact on our country. And we are going to talk to six very special guests, all with varying degrees of experience in the fight for unborn children. For the first hour, we're going to spend the entire first hour talking to John Speed and Marcus Pittman. I will share their introductions in a moment. And the two of them, in addition to many other things they're working on, are producing a documentary that I think will rival 180, if not surpass it, for its impact on the Christian church. And that is Babies Are Murdered Here. And it's going to be unlike any documentary I think you've seen before. It is going to be a documentary about the abortion issue through the lens of brothers and sisters in Christ who are out there on the streets in front of abortion clinics every day, fighting the good fight, trying to save unborn children, and trying to reach those who would kill them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they're going to be on the first hour. We're going to listen to the trailer for the documentary. We're going to talk more about the documentary. We're going to talk to John about more about his ministry outside abortion clinics. And then in the for the first half of the second hour, we're going to talk to two ladies who have spent a great deal of time in the trenches, Patty Smith and Donna Hebert. And Patty, for one, has been on the streets in front of abortion clinics for more than 20 years now, just a wealth of information. Most of us who know Patty, who are now in front of abortion clinics, consider Patty to be a mentor in that she has really shown us the ropes. And then at the bottom of the second hour, we're going to have Edwin Lowe and Mike Peek on. Now, those might not be names familiar to you. They don't mind that, and it's okay. But Edwin and Mike are relatively new. Not new to evangelism, not new to open-air preaching, but new to trying to save unborn children outside of abortion clinics. So I thought not only would it be great for some really experienced people to encourage our listeners, to encourage you, to not simply vote pro-life, to not simply go to Walk for Life's events, but to actually get out and fight this fight with those who are fighting it on the front line, to go out to your area abortion clinic and stand up for the truth of the gospel and for the rights of life of the for the unborn. And so with that, Edwin and Mike, being relatively new to this, I thought their perspective would really help those who are considering doing this. And then I saw a video of a pastor named Joe Moorcraft. I'm not familiar with him. He pastors a Presbyterian church, and he has about an 11-minute video that really succinctly makes the argument against abortion just from Scripture. And so I thought that would be an encouragement to all of us. Our call-in number is 646-652-2316. Again, that is 646-652-2316. And if you have any questions for our guests, if you are pro-abortion, there is no such thing as pro-choice. We will not let you off the hook. To say you are pro-choice is to say that you are pro-abortion and pro-murder. There's no way around it. We will treat you respectfully. We will be polite to you, but we will not play your game. But if you want to call and justify the murder of millions of unborn children, we would love to talk to you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you profess to be a born-again Christian and you are in your heart and mind pro-choice, we really would like to talk to you. We want to hear how you can justify your position biblically. And again, we're going to be nice. There won't be any yelling or screaming, weeping or gnashing of teeth. We're all going to leave our open-air preaching voices locked up, and we'll just use our telephone voices, and let's see if we can actually have a rational conversation. Before I bring on my guests, before I introduce them, as always, I like to read a couple of quotes. I got a couple today from Spurgeon, and I think these are fitting for what we're talking about today. The first one is this, quote, "The fact is that man is a wrecking mass of corruption." Now, when was the last time your pastor looked at you and the congregation and said, "Huge human beings are a wrecking mass of corruption"? You might want to ask your pastor to do that soon. Continuing, "The fact is that man is a wrecking mass of corruption. His whole soul is by nature so debased and so depraved that no description which can be given of him, even by inspired tongues, can fully tell how base and vile a thing he is." And then the second quote from Charles Spurgeon, "There is no beast in wolf or lion or serpent that is so brutish as the beast in man. Did I not tell you last Sabbath day that whereas, according to the Levitical law, he that touched a dead animal was unclean till the evening, he who touched a dead man was unclean 7 days, for a man is 7 times more polluting creature than any of the beasts of the field when his animal nature rules him." Charles Spurgeon understood the depravity of man, and unfortunately, what really fuels and drives this insatiable need for human beings to murder other human beings, to sacrifice their unborn children to the modern-day gods of Molech, such as convenience and things like that. You cannot deny the depravity of man in this. Depravity of man is the base of this. Sin is the base of this, the basis for the wholesale murder of an entire generation now of young human beings. And so let's get going. We got a lot to do. If you haven't already told your friends to join us, tell them. And again, the call-in number is 646-652-2316. All right, our first two guests are Pastor John Speed and Marcus Pittman. Pastor John's been on with us before. He is the pastor of Christ is King Baptist Church in Syracuse, New York. He's been in full-time ministry since 1992. The Lord used him in full-time evangelism ministry from 2005 until 2011. He helped start the Lost Cause Ministries, and you will find them at lostcauseministries.com. His passion is proclaiming the authority, person, and work of Jesus Christ to the city of Syracuse, where he's now planting the church. The church website is CUSE Bible Study, all one word, .blogspot.com. John is also leading a wonderful mentoring program called The Log College, and that website is thelogcollege, all one word, .com, which is designed to teach the doctrinal and practical foundations of open-air preaching while teaching commitment to the local church. Very important. And he has been preaching in abortion clinics since 2011. And along with him is Marcus Pittman. Marcus is the creative director and producer for CrownRights.org, and that is the website, CrownRights, all one word, .org. A creative arts ministry dedicated to producing film, media, and music that equips and encourages the local church to impact the culture for Christ. He is the producer of the soon-to-be-released documentary, Babies Are Murdered Here, and that's one of the main things we're going to be this hour. And the website for that documentary is Babies Are Murdered Here, all one word, .com. You can also support the production of the documentary. The organization Crown Rights has been told by their board of directors that basically they need to raise about $10,000 in order to make the documentary free to the masses. And this is, I mean, I've seen very little of it. I saw the trailer. We're going to play the audio for that. And I saw another trailer, like a one-minute clip, that just got my blood boiling. And it was like watching this particular clip was like when I was a deputy sheriff and they would show a reenactment of a deputy-involved shooting, and your pulse would start to quicken, your palms would start to sweat, your mouth's getting dry, you're starting to taste the lead in your mouth from the adrenaline pumping in your body, because you know that could be you at any moment. And as I'm watching this clip of this guy going ballistic outside of an abortion clinic and then rushing toward the Christians who were standing outside pleading with people, I mean, I felt like I was right there. I felt like it was a moment when I was standing in front of this abortion clinic. So, I mean, this is going to be absolutely powerful. On the lighter side, Marcus has also produced 30 videos called 30 Failed Sunrises, if you want to laugh, and you may need a laughter antidote after some of the things we're going to talk about today. You can go to the Transplant Ministries YouTube page for that. So with that, I want to bring my two guests on, Marcus and John. How are you brothers doing today?
Hey, doing all right.
Doing good.
So what's the weather like up there in Syracuse today, John?
Well, I think the wind chill factor was about 10 below zero today.
Wow.
And not too much snow, but very cold.
See, it didn't get anywhere near that cold in Norway.
Oh, I was thinking about that today, wondering if that was the case.
Yeah, no, I think the coldest it got was about 15 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 10 degrees below zero Celsius. So, and we didn't have any snow. So, and Marcus, where are you today, Mr. World Traveler?
I'm in Georgia, man. Traveling is right. Yeah, I'm in Georgia. So.
And what are you doing down there? Because I had heard you talking today about going to D.C.
Yeah, I'm going to – this week I'll be at the March for Life. We'll be filming the documentary there, continuing there. And then I'll be coming back. I'll have 2 weeks. And then we'll be going from there to – we'll be going to the Jeremiah Cry East Coast Tour. We'll be filming that, sending the whole Crown Ranch production crew for that. And then coming – back for a day and then going to Nevada to film an eschatology conference. So,
wow. There you go. Well, praise God he's given you work, man. I remember not too long ago talking to you about wondering if you were going to have a roof over your head.
Yeah, it's definitely picking up, so that's a blessing for sure.
Excellent. All right, before we start talking about babies are murdered here, I want to play the audio for the trailer. And just give everybody a sound bite of what they have to look forward to. So let's take a listen.
This abortion in and of itself is a curse on our nation. It is a judgment. God has put on us a blindness and a stupidity where we don't even step up and speak out against this. I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
Where is the church?
The Bible's clear that you shall not murder, and God hates hands that shed innocent blood, and we should rescue those being... led to the slaughter. You would think with the hundreds of churches in the surrounding areas that you'd have a few more people called to save babies that are threatened with death.
I'm going to the church across the street from the abortion clinic, and I really just want to see what they say.
And as part of your missions program, has there been any organized outreach towards pro-life issues or going out to abortion clinics or anything like that?
No. That's not something that I know the church is on.
Do you know that there's an abortion clinic right across the street from you?
Yeah.
Go stand in front of the abortion clinic, hold signs. Don't even have to say
it's not a comfortable ministry. You're not going to be thought well of by the neighbors around or the staff of the abortion clinic.
Why does my daughter have to see that? That's disgusting.
I'm not killing my baby, so it doesn't matter.
They're going to have the ladies that are yelling at you.
Well, most of you women are walking in the building cussing you out.
Right here at this abortion clinic, they advertise on their website that there's no protesters, so the ladies can feel safe when they come, and that's no more. We're going to end it now.
Your secret is out. The people of this neighborhood will know that you shed innocent blood here, and you sit back and laugh as the registered king turns from the blood money that you have clutched in your fist.
Now, that last voice you heard was our dear brother Robert Gray, one of the finest men I know, and one of the best opener preachers around. And then the other voice you heard throughout that audio was Pastor John Speed. Now, this first question, it's kind of a combination for the both of you. Probably a question maybe some folks are asking, why another documentary about abortion and abortion clinic ministries, and what's going to set Babies Are Murdered Here apart from things we've seen previously, like 180, Blood Money, things like that? Marcus, why don't you start?
Yeah, I think like 180 was really good, but I think this is the what now. I think when people watch 180, it's like, okay, great. I know abortion is murder. Now what? And this is the now what of 180. This is almost, it's kind of like a sequel. These are the people that are distributing 180 and out there on the streets, and they're there every day. John Barros is there every day, 6 days a week, from the time the abortion clinic opens to the time it closes. That's the only place he goes to preach the gospel, is that place. And so you have, you know, people like that, and Patty Smith, who will be on the show tonight. And it's showing what can be done right now to end abortion. Like, there's something we can do. And then there's that. And then the plan is eventually to go to Mississippi, and I want to show the work that the Christians in Mississippi have done through Personhood. They've shut down 6 out of 7 abortion clinics, and the last one in Jackson is on hanging from a thread right now because of how the Christians have got involved in numerous ways. And so this is kind of what this is doing.
Now, did I understand you right? There's only 7 abortion clinics in all of Mississippi?
No. There's one.
Or in a particular city?
No. There's one. In all of Mississippi, there were 7 abortion clinics. And the Christians have come together, and through preaching outside of the clinics, through getting involved in the government, and through changing the laws, they've reduced it to 1 abortion clinic in the entire state. And and they've just passed a law forcing the abortion doctors to have check-in status at a local hospital, which no hospital will allow an abortion doctor to check in patients at their hospital. So it's on the very last. They failed to meet the deadline to get check-ins, the ability to have admittance ability at the hospital. So that clinic's almost done. And so you can actually, I heard someone saying you can actually take tours of these abandoned abortion clinics in the state. They're actually there, and you can go on a tour. Yeah. So I want to get out there to Mississippi. And,
wow, that's...
Because there is something we can do. Like, we can preach the gospel, and we can that's the first thing we can do, and that's the foundation. But there's all these other different things we can do, too, and just in terms of what to do to shut it down. And so this is what this documentary is doing. An abortion clinic, just by having protesters out there, loses money. The Guttmacher Institute issued that they lose a huge percentage of business just when someone's standing out there with a sign, because people don't want to go in. And then that's only what they can measure based on canceled appointments. And that doesn't include...
I've seen that happen. I mean, I'm a rookie at this, too. I've only been at it for months, not years, like people like Patty and John Morrow's, but even in my short time out there, I have seen people drive up, sit in their car or truck, look at me, look at my cross for several minutes, and then pull away and drive away, not to be seen again that day.
I know. And so this documentary is going to call the church to action and let them know that there is something that can be done to shut it down, and it works. And so it's going to be great. The stuff we've gotten is amazing. The video which God has allowed us to get for this has been incredible. This week we're filming at Orlando Women's Clinic, which is the worst abortion clinic in the country. And we're filming John, and I'm interviewing him. And it is. It's definitely one of the worst. It's one of the only ones you can get late term abortions, and there's all kinds of terrible things with it. But we're filming John. I'm interviewing him, and he stops because he sees a couple that he stopped from having an abortion, and they bring him their 19-day-old baby right there while I'm filming, and they're drug addicts, and they're going to a methadone clinic right down the street, and they're reading books that John gave them. They're reading John Piper's Finally Alive, and they're starting to get involved in the church, and they have this 19-day-old baby that John's holding, and it's amazing. I mean, you see that. It's just amazing, and she's thanking him for saving his baby. And so this documentary is going to be unlike anything. God's really putting the story together. We couldn't plan that stuff, man. So it's going to be really, I'm really excited about getting it out there.
All right. Now, John, we've had you on recently talking about what was going on up there in Portland, Maine. You've recently taken up the cause of the unborn in the sense of actually going out to a clinic. As you look back on your many years of ministry, why do you think you didn't get involved sooner? Why do you think it took so long? It's a question I've been asking myself too.
That's a really good question. I think there's a lot of things I can blame it on. You know, there's lack of good examples in the sense that every church that I ever went to going up through over the years, both ones that I grew up in and ones that I pastored, there was just nothing happening. Nobody was going out to do any ministry out in front of clinics, and so I never saw any good examples. This at the same time that I was coming up, you know, like in high school and college, Operation Rescue was doing its thing back in the late 80s, early 90s, and that, I think, really freaked a lot of people out. I grew up near Buffalo, New York, and they did a huge thing in Buffalo, and a lot of people were arrested. A lot of people were, you know, trying to block access to the clinics and that sort of thing, and so chaining themselves to the doors and that sort of thing. And I think that kind of thing scared a lot of people in the church off from doing anything. I think they thought if they were going to be out there at the clinic that you'd have to do some jail time. And I think that was part of my thinking. Yeah. But if I'm really honest about it, it's just complacency. I mean, I had stuff going on. I had hobbies. I had my family. I had, you know, ministry, things I was doing in ministry. And honestly, it's often been said that you do the things you care about. And I didn't care.
Now, so what was the turning point for you? For me, it was being involved in the 180 production with Living Waters and overseeing the distribution on campuses, and then looking in the mirror one day and saying, "This is all I'm doing. I'm not out there like a Patti Smith. I'm not out there like a John Barros." And that was kind of the turning point for me. What was the turning point for you that put you where you are today outside the clinic?
You know, I would just say it was a process of praying and, you know, I think the Holy Spirit just bringing that conviction in my heart. A friend finally invited my wife and I to come out. She had been going out to a clinic in Fort Worth, Texas, and she invited my wife and I to come out there with our family. She brings her kids out there. And so we went, and just to see how it went, I preached out there for the first time. And shortly thereafter, I met with the guy who's been doing that ministry for, I think, like 15 or 20 years. He's been out there every day that clinic's open, another guy like John Barros. And he took us to breakfast, and he looked at Kim and I and said, you know, all I'm asking you to do is pray and ask God what he would have you to do and then go do it. He says, does that sound reasonable? Would you be willing to do that? And I said, sure, you know, we'll pray about it and do what God tells us to do. And what it came down to in a process of praying and reading the word and going out there and observing and taking part, we're very clearly, in our minds, we're very clearly convinced that this not only is something that, that we should be doing as a family, but it's something that I really want to encourage pastors and churches to get off the sideline and get into this fight and bring the gospel out there to abortion clinics.
Amen. And again, if you just joined us, my guest for this first hour, Pastor John Speed of Christ is King Baptist Church in Syracuse, New York. You can find more about the church at qcusebiblestudy.blogspot.com. And Marcus Pittman, the creative director and producer for Crown Rights. Their website is crownrights.org. And Marcus is producing a brand new documentary called Babies Are Murdered Here. And you can see the trailer at babiesaremurderedhere.com. Marcus, what have you learned about the people? What have you learned about people like John Barros? I've heard of John Barros. I don't know if I've ever met him. I knew he was out every day, but I had no idea that he was out 6 days a week from open to close at this clinic. What have you learned, good, bad, and ugly, about the folks who are out there on the streets in front of these clinics?
I think, with John, he's one of the most dedicated people I've ever met in my life. I mean, he comes out there. We were there. I was there. I filmed 3 days with him, 2 days with him, and then one morning with Patty. But the 2 days I was there with him, the Friday, it actually started raining. And I'm like, are we going? Like, what's happening? And he just pulls out an umbrella in his car. And he plants it down and he stays. He said, whatever the weather is, he's there. As long as they're murdering children, he's there. And the dedication is amazing. I mean, the guy, he started 2.5 years ago, I believe, and he was just sitting out there and he said, Lord, if this is where you want me, feed my family. And he's been doing it for 2.5 years ever since, and money's been provided for him, and he's been able to support his family by being out there. So, I mean, I think that's one thing, is the dedication of these people. And it's not, I don't think that being out there at the abortion clinic is something for everybody. I think it is a special calling, but everybody needs to be involved in the abortion ministry somehow. Like, we got to get it. So whatever it is, whatever your gift is, whether it's you can work in a job, you can support these people, but we need to be a lot louder than we are. And you know, you see these guys like John, and he's a hero. John saves multiple babies per week. I don't think anybody has that record like John does.
Wow.
And it's not because there's something special about him per se and like what he does, but it's that he's there every single day. Even if they're not murdering, he's still there to get people who are just going in for a checkup or whatever it is. He's constantly there. He's constantly preaching the gospel, and he's just, everybody in that entire neighborhood knows him. Poor people come to him, and he preaches the gospel. The abortion workers come out and talk to him for lunch, and they have lunch and sit together and talk, and it's really unbelievable what he's been able to do by just being there all the time.
Now, what do you think he's done, or has he told you, or did you see, what has John done to establish that kind of rapport with, for all intents and purposes, people who are the enemy, who have a hand in the murder, and yet they're coming out to have lunch with him? What has he done?
He's
is it just
there.
The time? Or?
Just there. Yeah, he's just there, and you know, he's a very gracious guy, and you'll see in the documentary, you'll see how he deals with people, how kind and gentle he is, and just, I think it's just his presence. You know, it's the same thing with you know, open air preachers that continually stay at one college and that's all they go to. I think once you just sit in a place and you stay there for a while, I think that's just what happens, is people just get to know you from more than just a guy who's just there randomly for no reason at all, but they see you as someone who's truly dedicated, and, you know, and that's huge, so.
Now, Marcus, while you've been going out to these various clinics, and you know, obviously don't, you don't have to mention names or anything like that. That's not why we're here. But have you seen anything among folks who are out in front of these clinics that, that make you wince? Just like, oh, I don't know if I would have said that. Why are they doing it that way? Why are they even here? Anything like that at all?
I've been told there are you have the Catholics that just stand out there and they just pray and that's all they do, and they don't really talk to anyone, and then you always have the crazy people, but I haven't seen any of that. They weren't there when we were filming or shooting, but I mean the sad thing is a lot of these abortion clinics are abandoned. Like they don't have anybody there to do anything,
yeah.
And the only ones that are there are usually, you know, most of the time the solid guys. And for example, I mean, I think one of the key things is when we were filming in Syracuse with John, we went to this abortion clinic that no one's ever been to, and it's right across the street from a church. And on the website for this abortion clinic, it's Women's Health Horizons in Syracuse. It's still up. They still have it up. Which now it's just a lie, but it was true up until we started going there. But they say on their website that there's no protesters here. It's free of any problems. You can feel safe when you come here. And I remember we were filming, and I was interviewing John out in front of the abortion clinic, and he mentions to me that on the website they advertise this as we're standing right across the street from a local church. And the entire documentary and film just came together in an instant. Like, I remember, like, John was there, you know. Like, as soon as he said that, I said, well, what did you just say? And he said, the guy said, repeat that. You know? And so he got that. And then, you know, Robert, you know, was saying, when he said, you know, your secret is out, you know, no more. You know,
yeah.
Your deeds will be exposed. And, you know, we got to see that. I mean, just. There was no one there. It's in a quiet neighborhood right across the street from a church. There's no way, unless you were looking for an abortion clinic to minister to, you would know it's an abortion clinic. There's just doctor names on the signs. And then the next day, they had a cookie sale at this church. And I just want to clear this up because I think there were some things going around that me and John snuck into this church and filmed them without these people knowing. That's not true. That's not true at all. We went in there, we bought cookies. Well, they were having this cookie sale, and I was like, John, if the church is open to the public tomorrow, we have to go in there and we have to ask them, like, why aren't they out there? Well, what are they doing? Do they know about it? And so they just happened to have this cookie sale. And so we went in there, we bought some cookies, we told them we were filming on churches, community involvement in the community, and we wanted to ask them some questions about what they were doing, and they referred us to their director of missions, which is the lady on the video that said their church doesn't have a position on abortion, and we talked to them, and then usually you're supposed to ask them permission before, but that way if they get really mad, they can't turn back and say no. But we asked them afterwards, even after we interviewed them, they still said we could use it and we have permission, so it wasn't anything that was undercover or anything. Like that, so just to clear that up, but it really went well. They were very nice, and you know, I won't give away what happens in the conversations. We'll save that
sure.
for the film, but it's really good. Like it's really shocking and surprising just how that turns out. So,
now John, in that trailer, the trailer is powerful from beginning to end. And one of the most powerful parts is when you're preaching, and I presume it was to your own congregation, and you ask, with a very stern and angry tone, where's the church? So what do you think the answer to that question is? Where's the church when it comes to abortion clinic ministry?
Well, I have to correct you on that. I was actually preaching at the Jeremiah Cry Conference.
Oh, okay.
Where's the church? I think the answer is that they're AWOL on the one hand, and on the other hand, they're also ineffective at the same time. You've got people that don't do anything, like me. I didn't do anything for a long time. And then you've got people that when they do go out there, like the Roman Catholics, go out and pray their rosaries and, you know, stand there with crucifixes or whatever, they're not doing anything that has any power. If there's evangelicals that are going out there, they're going out there with a gospel that's so watered down that the Roman Catholics that are with them can accept it. And those that volunteer at the crisis pregnancy centers don't have any problem handing out those gospel tracts because it doesn't call them to repent. So you've got both nothing happening at the clinics, and then at the same time you've got this sort of modern gospel proclamation that's going on, or no proclamation at all. And so I think that's what's going on as a whole. I mean, when it comes to the larger pro-life movement, I do think what Marcus is recording is this, and I really believe it, I believe there's a wave of open-air preachers coming that are waking up to this right now, mainly because of 180, and hopefully through this project as well, that are going to go out there and take the true gospel of salvation out there, and not only will we be a testimony to the ladies that are coming for abortions, but we'll also be a testimony to those that have compromised and those who believe another gospel altogether.
Now, John, have you had opportunity since the Lord moved in your heart to be out there, have you had opportunity to talk to other pastors who don't have this kind of ministry in their church?
Yeah, a lot of it's been going on since this trailer's come out. I get emails or, you know, phone calls pretty frequently now, and they're asking, you know, what can we do? And that's exciting. So we're seeing some pastors. One pastor from Tennessee who contacted me, their church isn't doing any kind of open air ministry, any kind of street evangelism at all right now. But because of what he's seeing in this trailer, he wants to see his church get out there and do something. So that's kind of encouraging on two fronts. They're not only going out to hit the clinic for the first time, but they're also going out to engage in street evangelism for the first time. So,
wow,
you know, that's really cool. I think that's another possible side effect of all this.
Now, have you run into any negative reactions from pastors when you brought the subject up to them?
You know, locally, when it comes to the pastors here in Syracuse, it hasn't been talked about much directly. There's an email that goes out to all the pastors in our association. Then they sent out a link to this documentary, the promo, and I expected to hear something back, you know, from the other pastors, and it was pretty much crickets, you know, chirping in the background. It was just, I don't think people know what to make of it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
They're scared of it yet, I think.
And again, my guests are Pastor John Speed and Marcus Pittman. We're talking about this exciting new documentary that's going to be released soon, and we'll be asking the question when in just a moment. And it's called Babies Are Murdered Here. Our call-in number is 646-652-2316. Again, it's 646-652-2316. If you have questions for our guests, if you agree or disagree with this kind of ministry outside of abortion clinics, we'd love to hear from you. Marcus, has anything surprised you during the making of this documentary so far?
I think abortion ministry has kind of just, well, there's two things. Abortion ministry surprised me because I think people have this victimhood impression with those who are going into abortion clinics as if these are these women who are in these terrible, tough situations and they don't have any other options and they don't know what to do. And that's not the case. If anybody spends just one day at an abortion clinic or just an hour or two when they're going in to murder their children and confront these people, they're not terribly hopeless situations. These are women who are boasting in their sin. They act exactly like you would expect murderers to act who can murder and get away with it. They act exactly like that. And you see it over and over and over again. If there is a rare situation like a health situation or anything like that, it's I've never seen it, and it's very, very rare. And most of the time, you get the health situation, they're lying to you about it, because they'll say the health situation, and then a few minutes later, they'll completely just flip on you and expose what they really want to do. And so, like, you don't see that. The other thing that just really, really surprises me is that we have the cameras there, and that you would think would be like a huge problem to have cameras as people are going into here. But John pointed out that he was shocked that there's no shame. You know, like, they don't mind the cameras being there. Now, there are a few. I think the abortion doctors are more concerned about the cameras than the people going in. But, you know, it was kind of saddening to see that, you know, they're just there and, you know, they see the cameras and you know, one guy we were able to interview who was bringing his wife in there and or his girlfriend in there to film, and we were able to interview him about what he thought abortion was. And, you know, there are times when people don't like the cameras. We have a really interesting setup. The guy who is doing the abortion ministry or the girl is mic'd up. They have a mic on. Patty had a mic on. John had a mic on. And it's a wireless mic, and I'm filming from 200 or 300 feet away sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we can capture the entire conversation that's taking place pretty clearly and without being in the way. And so that's huge, because you really get to see, they're not showing off of the camera or anything, but it's just, this is how they feel about murdering their child. They're okay with it. It's really shocking. And, you know, there's this one thing that we got last Friday or Friday. This guy was in his car with his three kids, and John, I was 200 or 300 feet away listening to this conversation as I was filming it. John is leaning into the window of this guy's car, and you hear these three kids crying as their dad is talking to their father, to John. Their dad is talking to John about murdering his wife, going in there and murdering baby number four. So it's really, I mean, this is a view that people do not see, this view when it comes to, like, you just don't see it. The Catholics don't see it if they don't engage the people routinely. They won't see it. This is just not a view of abortion that people see. It's going to expose exactly what it is, and that's the goal. This is exactly what abortion is. So,
now, have you guys run into anything like bubble zones? I know from talking to Patty Smith that, by and large, bubble zones are somewhat mythical. But have you guys run into any issues like that as you've been out filming and going to different clinics?
The only, just from the clinics that I've been to, the only time there's a bubble zone or anything like that is if there's been a court issue for that specific clinic.
Like a restraining order.
Yeah, a restraining order or something to that effect. Or, you know, they complain, they bring a lawsuit against the pro-life folks that are out there, and then the judge settles it in court as to where the boundaries are going to be. We had something like that in Fort Worth. But otherwise, it's pretty much the same rules when it comes to anytime you're doing street evangelism in the traditional public forum. You just got to keep the sidewalks open. You want to stay off of private property. When it comes to the abortion clinics, you know, if they catch you trespassing, I know of one guy who, I think he just took one step onto an abortion clinic's property, and they ticketed him for that. So they called the police, filed a complaint. So, you know, you just got to be aware of that sort of stuff.
Now, John, what have you learned about yourself as you've committed yourself to abortion clinic ministry? I mean, has anything about your own character, your own walk with Christ, any skills being honed? What have you learned about yourself in this process?
I think, honestly, the thing that I've learned, I sort of have this reputation with friends and different churches that I've been in where they kind of look at me like I'm some kind of commando evangelist who's not afraid to go anywhere, do anything like Rambo or something. And
there was that day you tied the bandana around your head, but
yeah, you know, yeah, tracks in my gun holster or something. I don't know, but you know, it's ridiculous because I struggle with the same fears that everyone else does, and that's really brought to the forefront when it comes to this abortion clinic ministry. Every single time that we go out there, I really struggle with my flesh. I don't want to do it. There's about 100 other things I would rather do than go out there and be cussed out by people and, you know, have doctors threaten my family or me or whatever, and, you know, have to deal with the police that come out in response to these ridiculous charges that the doctors will cook up or whatever. And, you know, that stuff just gets tiring. And the truth is, I find out I just have to cry out to God for strength, and I'm finding out how weak I am. And I'm finding out how unable I am to stop someone from murdering their baby, apart from God doing something, how unable I am to even share the gospel and to have that be effective in someone repenting and believing it unless God does something. That's it.
But, you know, that's a good point. Like, John this weekend was making a comment about the RVs that have the ultrasound system in them.
Uh-huh.
And we tend to think, oh, if they could only see this ultrasound, if these ladies could only just see the hands and feet of this baby, then they won't want to abort it. But the problem is they know that it's a baby inside of them. They don't need to see it to know that. That's why they want to have an abortion in the first place, is to stop it. But so there's no way that ultrasounds have a greater success rate or fail rate than just being out there and preach the gospel. And I believe, as John believes, that preaching the word of God and convicting them and using biblical words like murder and sin when you're talking to them is a lot more successful plan to stop abortion and has a higher success rate than any other thing you could do. We have to understand the total depravity when we're doing this, because you're not going to be able to change them with ultrasounds or any other thing, but the word of God does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Now Marcus, you as part of the work on this documentary, are you going to be talking to anybody working in crisis pregnancy centers?
Hope to. That's the plan for going to DC is to get. What I really want to do is I really want to expose the humanist victimhood mentality of abortion ministry that's really plagued this country for 40 or 50 years. The idea that these ladies are victims and that they're in a tough situation, and we have to make them, if they have an abortion, we need to comfort their conscience as opposed to use their conscience against them like you're supposed to bring them to repentance. And so I really want to go after that. I want to ask the CPCs, you know, why they believe that abortion is still a valid choice. A lot of them, you know, the abortion clinic this week, a crisis pregnancy center this week, I found out about, that says there is no right choice. It depends what's best for you. Yeah, and so we have to expose the idea, and we have to expose this, because there are many pro-choice crisis pregnancy centers who would say they're against abortion, but they're also for a woman's right to choose. And so we have to know which CPCs in our area are against abortion completely and will call it what it is, or which crisis pregnancy center is actually a pro-choice crisis pregnancy center. Planned Parenthood is smart, man. They set up traps, and they know how to, you know, have our churches think they're stopping abortion by supporting a crisis pregnancy center, and all the while, you know, they believe that, you know, it's a choice. So it's a war we're at. It's a war, and so they're deceiving a lot of people and churches and stuff. So we have to get to the root of that too. So hopefully
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That didn't take long. So, Marcus, how can people support the making of Babies Are Murdered Here? Your goal is to raise at least $10,000. And last time I heard from you a number, you've raised under $1,000 so far. So how can people?
Yeah, I think we're right at $1,000, right, almost there. So we're right at $1,000 now. We need to raise $10,000, and the reason is because it's going to take about 2 months to put everything together, and that's time I wouldn't be working, and, you know, I have to cover the bills during that time, and there's the cost of equipment and travel, and just it takes a lot of money to make a film, and so we're trying to get it to where we don't have to sell it. We can just put it out there on the internet, and we can get it in as many people's hands as possible. And so that's the goal, is we just want to expose abortion for what it really is, expose the hearts of those who are getting abortions for what they really are, and to really show that abortion ministry does work and we can shut it down if we get mobilized. And so the best way to do that is just to put it out there on the internet, just like 180 does, throw it out there for free, distribute it, and hopefully we can get people behind it. And whatnot. So yeah, if you go to crownrights.org/support, and you can donate that way. There's a link to it as well on babiesaremurderedhere.com. I really want to do a lot more traveling. I'd love to get out there to California, and I have to get to Mississippi, and I'll probably go back to Orlando a few more times as well to get what we need to get to really sum this up and clean it up, but it's going to be great. The video that we have is phenomenal. God is just, John will tell you too, like God is just places these stories when we go to film. We don't plan anything. We don't make phone calls to get people there. We just go and we film, and there's nothing scripted, and it's just whatever happens on that day, God has just been using. He hasn't wasted a single day. And so it's really phenomenal, and I think it's going to rock people's
Amen.
Worlds when it comes to it.
Amen. Hey, John, we got about 2 minutes left, buddy. Give our listeners an exhortation, a tongue lashing, whatever you think you need to do in the last couple of minutes to get people motivated to find out where their clinics are and to go out there in front of them.
Well, the only thing that I would say is, you know, look at what the scriptures say. The scriptures are very clear about life in the womb, that this life is viable human life, that it is human life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God calls Jeremiah to the ministry of being a prophet before he was even formed in the womb. And so this is life, and there's no question. So if this is literal murder, and we all, you know, if we say we're pro-life, we all believe that it is. When it comes to literal murder, how far would you go to stand up for the life of the person who's being murdered? Now, we've got scriptural commands and parameters that we have to work with, and those are the ones that we work with. We don't seek violence against anybody. We simply, you know, stand up and try to intervene and plead and do everything that we can to try to convince these ladies. And all it takes is just going out, finding out whether or not the Planned Parenthood or the clinic in your town's doing abortions, going out there and just standing there, maybe with a sign, praying, just trying to engage the ladies as they walk in. It's simple stuff, but it's life-changing, and it's going to probably challenge you and stretch you more than anything you've ever done before. So, you know, be prayed up and seek the Lord before you go out there and do something like that, but it's a lot simpler than we make it.
Amen. Hey, Marcus, before I let you guys go, I just bought my sign today, Babies Are Murdered Here. Bought the 2-foot by 3-foot sign to to hold while I'm out there in front of the abortion clinic in my area. Where can people get those signs?
Yeah, if you go to babiesandmurderedhere.com and you click on the download signs, there's two things you can do. You can either download the sign for free and take it to a printer of your choice, or my friends Tony and Shana are actually making them, and then they're really nice waterproof versions of Robert's famous logo now he made. and so you can get them made and printed. If you buy the sign through Tony and Shana at Seed Shakers, part of that goes towards funding the project as well. So a small part goes towards funding the project, and you can do that. So, yeah, if you get the signs, if you get a sign or if you make your own, send it to the Babies Are Murdered Here Facebook page, and we're posting it, and we're really trying to start a movement and, you know, and use biblical language and what we're defining and stuff. So, Tony, before I go, I have to plug one thing or I'll get in a lot of trouble. You did the 30 Field Sunrises. You mentioned it. Me and the Chocolate Knox are now doing every day 60-second tech gadget news in the same sort of humorous format. It's the same humorous format. It's 60 seconds of your day. So if you subscribe to 18 hours of preaching a day and Wretched Radio, you still have time during the day for the 60-second gadget fix, your podcast news and stuff. And we're really trying to take over an industry that's just completely agnostic and atheistic, the tech industry online. And so, and you know, there's no other tech podcast that'll tell you the best apps for homeschool moms. We do it. So you just go there, and then that's what we're doing at solagadget.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes and everything. So.
And just to show what a gracious host I am, letting him cut into Patty and Donna's time, as he mentions Wretched Radio. He can't put Cross Encounters Radio in the plug. You know, if people are downloading that show. No, he's got to mention Wretched Radio. The other
guy. Well, that would be redundant because we're listening now.
Does that make you feel better?
whatever makes you sleep at night, I guess.
There you go.
Okay.
Hey, I love you guys. Thank you very much for being on the program today. Again, it was Pastor John Speed with Crisis King Baptist Church and Marcus Pittman with CrownRights.org. Together they're working on this phenomenal documentary, Babies Are Murdered Here. You can watch the trailer, get more information about getting your own sign at babiesaremurderedhere.com. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you later. All right, we're going to jump right into it. No breaks on this show. No rest for the weary. We could sleep in heaven. Before I bring our next two guests on, I was at the abortion clinic today, and it's so unusual to come home and say, "Oh, it was a quiet day. What a wonderful day." Because usually when you're out open air preaching or something like that, you want a lot of people, you want hecklers, you want to engage people. But I came home with cause for rejoicing today because it seemed like business was slow at the abortion clinic. In fact, I was praising God because another business has moved into the building and they're doing a lot of interviews. It's some type of nonprofit teaching organization, and so there was nowhere to park. There was nowhere for people coming in to murder their children to park. And, you know, some people too lazy to raise a child, maybe they're too lazy to, you know, park outside of the clinic parking lot and walk down the street to murder the child. So I was hopeful about that. But we talked to a couple of guys, and now we're going to talk to a couple of dear sisters in Christ. I'm going to introduce them both to you before I bring them on. First up is Patty Smith. She is the wife of Scott. And Scott Smith is a great open-air preacher in his own right. He is with Revival USA and Sports Fan Outreach International. He's going around the country and around the world to proclaim the gospel. I'll be seeing him next week at the Super Bowl Outreach. She is the wife of Scott, the mom of three sons. She's a grandma. And Patty has served as a street missionary at abortuaries and elsewhere for about 20 years. So out of all the people to today, Patty's got the most experience. You can find information about her work outside of abortuaries at sanctuaryministries.blogspot.com and also at Schoolmaster Ministries, and that's all one word, schoolmasterministries.com. And then we have Donna Hebert. Donna Hebert leads a newly formed organization as recent as October called Pro-Life Missionaries of Maine. She is the helpmate of Jeff, mother of six children, currently homeschooling three of the six. Both Patty and Donna, like John, have been on the program before. Donna likes to say she most recently gained a beautiful godly daughter-in-law, married to Donna's oldest son, Joshua. She has been active in biblical evangelism since 2005, attended evangelism boot camps in New York City, Las Vegas, and Texas, and brought that training back to Maine, where she and her husband, Jeff, actively share their faith as a family on the streets in Portland, Maine. In July 2012, Donna found out that a Planned Parenthood moved from their location to downtown Portland and were killing babies every Friday. And since that first visit in July to Planned Parenthood, Donna and her children and a couple of friends have continued to stand for life every Friday morning. And in October, the group officially named itself Pro-Life Missionaries of Maine. Now, I was reading on the Pro-Life Missionaries of Maine Facebook page, and you will find them there, that they now have as many as 20 people coming out with them. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so without further ado, I want to bring on Patty Smith and Donna Hebert. Sisters, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great.
I'm doing great.
I'm talk to you guys. Hey, Donna.
Yes.
Hey, Patty.
I'm just, you know what? If you girls want to get caught up, I'll just sit here for a few minutes. No, seriously.
And don't even tempt us. Don't tempt us, Tony. The last time we talked, it was a 3.5-hour conversation.
Well, although we run out of live airtime at 2 hours, we can go endlessly on the podcast. So, so Donna, what's the weather like up there in Maine?
Well, right now I think it's about 16 degrees outside. We're having a heat wave.
Yeah, wasn't it down pretty close to zero when you were out not too long ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think quite a few Fridays we've been out there, and it's frigid. It's very bad. It hurts to breathe.
And, Patty, where are you today? Are you in the south or in the down far south? Where are you today?
Yeah, we're in Florida, so we're in the Orlando area.
Okay. Now, so you've been out with John Barros recently then?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we try to go with him once a week, and then on the day he takes off from ministry on Saturdays, we go there. We go to the killing place and minister in his stead.
Okay. So now, Donna, can you give us a quick update on the situation there at the Planned Parenthood in Portland? Have there been any new developments, new protests, anything like that going on?
Well, ever since we had that one big protest and we went on your show afterwards with John Speed and Jeremy and them, there has been a website designed to protest us. Somebody bought the domain name prolifemissionariesofmaine.com. If you click on that website, that is not us. That is somebody using that against us. So that's one of the biggest new developments. The opposition out there is absolutely amazing, and we continue to battle that right now. But it hasn't deterred us. Still out there every Friday, and we've been out there on Saturdays. They're killing babies on Saturdays too. So this past Saturday, I was out there with my 19-year-old son and my 18-year-old daughter and her courtee, I'll call him, my daughter's courtee.
Oh, really?
A young man. Yes, it's very exciting. So he was out there with us as well. And, of course, our faithful Daniel Emma was out there with us, and another family, the Fitzgerald family, came out. So we were there Saturday morning as well as on Friday morning. So,
So are you seeing the opposition continue to escalate, or have some of the people gone away now that they're not getting free food from Mike?
You know, that's kind of funny because they made a big stink that it wasn't the food that brought us out here.
Right.
There has been some people that have been coming out, and they actually stand across the street. I guess they're trying to be better than us. You know, they're going to respect Planned Parenthood and not stand in front of their building. But they have a different motive than us. Their purpose for being there is not the same as ours. So, you know,
right.
Our goal is to reach the women going through those doors. They don't care about those women no matter what they think. So.
No. Nope.
So they're across the street. So they have been there every Friday. Not as big as it was that other day.
Yeah. Well, and regardless of what they say, some of those folks were out there for the free lunch and to try to get on TV or in paper. So,
mm-hmm.
Patty, now you've been doing this for about 20 years. How has abortion clinic ministry changed, if it has, since you started some 20 years ago?
Well, there have always been a very small number of non-Catholics and a fair number of committed Catholics outside some abortuaries. And I would say I don't believe that has changed that much over 20 years. There are still vast numbers of places where they slaughter babies, where there's not any ministry of presence at all, no pro-life ministry of presence on many days that they kill babies in many cities at many places. So I don't think that's changed much. I do see, as I think it was John Speed who said earlier, that there does seem to be a wave that I believe is directed by the Holy Spirit, and I praise God for this, that some men and women who are equipped to share a biblical gospel are being compelled by the love of Christ out to these abortuaries to witness to the women, to their babies, and all the accomplices and the clinic workers and the abortionists. I do praise God for that. So that's the little change I've seen within the last maybe like year or two or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow wave, though. I mean, I'm very encouraged because the people who are being compelled, it does really appear to be a move of the Holy Spirit. And so God, I believe, is consecrating people to actually make a commitment to go out to these killing fields and make a commitment to that place as a mission field and to keep their commitment before the Lord by the grace of God.
Now, Patty, would you say that ministry outside of abortion clinics is predominantly a woman's ministry, and are you starting to see more men, or is that still very slow going?
I would say it's, yes, predominantly women appear to have that heart for, especially for babies, and it's what a beautiful thing it is to see how many women, even nursing babies, are so desirous to save precious little children. Their maternal instincts are up, and they cannot imagine not cherishing a little child, not protecting helpless children, and so a lot of the women who the Lord has obviously sent out to the streets are women with children, even small children, sometimes many children. And so I would say it is predominantly at this point still being done by women. I think this is sad. Even though I'm very happy and blessed to be praying for and helping and doing everything I can to support and encourage the women who are going out, and I know the Lord is using them. I believe that there is a special authority that God has given to men, especially when it comes to handling the Word of God, that really makes it a requirement. We need to have godly men leading the gospel outreaches at these abortuaries. And men tend to be a little bit more clear thinking in terms of when they're very godly biblical men, they tend to be more straightforward, and they can speak plainly, and maybe sometimes with fewer words. There's women who are very emotional. We're led by our emotions sometimes rather than biblical principles. And I know, and I know Donna feels the same way, how grateful we are for the godly men that we have as our own husbands, that we have as brothers in Christ, and we are really in need. And I have been praying for God to raise up 300, an army of 300 men to lead and actually be commissioned by the Lord to do this full time, like John Barrows does.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Now, Donna, you were recently quoted in a Sun Journal article by Lindsay Tice to have said the following. I don't wish these girls, and referring to those going into, don't wish these girls to have to walk through 100 people holding signs. The few of us that are out there are sufficient. That's all we need. Could you expand on that thought? What's the optimum size, do you think, for a team at a single clinic? And why is it best not to have large groups of people outside of the clinics?
Yeah, I think we've confused people with our stance on that. We recently, as Pro-Life Missionaries of Maine, put out a statement actually asking numbers to not show up. The reason why we really thought long and hard about this was because of what happened at that protest that we had recently, where the free sandwiches and free coffee was being offered to anyone who came to protest us. But a lot of people showed up to help our team, and we were so grateful for that. We're not saying please don't come. We were very grateful for that. However, we found that what it did was made us look more like who's going to have the bigger numbers, which is bigger. You know, we're bigger than you. And we're not about the numbers, but it's about the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and reaching those girls. You win those girls to Christ, you will save that baby. And when you have too many people standing there, not only are these girls more shamed as they're walking through trying to get through this huge crowd and all these people holding signs, but we were not able to go to them. I missed, I think, about two girls that went into the building because there was just too much commotion. There was just too much going on, and it was a great distraction.
So what do you think? What do you think an optimum size would be? And Patty, you can jump in on that one too. What do you think is a good size for a team?
Well,
and does it depend
on
how busy
really,
the clinic is?
Yeah, I think it depends on how busy the clinic is, and also where the clinic is. We're on Main Street, Congress Street in Portland, Maine, downtown Portland, Maine. So we have, you know, the skinny little sidewalk and the big building in front of us. And we have the awesome ability to be right in front of the building, right there at the door. That's one thing John Speed could not believe, is how close we were able to be in front of that door. I mean, we are literally 2 feet from Planned Parenthood's door.
Yeah, I'm 150 feet away from the door where everyone goes in the back. So.
Yeah, and see, and not us. I mean, we are really right there. Standing right there.
Yeah,
so we are able to get to the girls. If we wanted to, you know, grab them, we could, but of course we don't do that. But another thing that I kept thinking of too was in Judges chapter 7, Gideon's army. You know, that whole passage, you know, where God fell down Gideon's army. And I think there's some wisdom in that, and maybe reading that passage and, you know, considering too many people sometimes, you know, what's everybody's motives for being out there? Are you there to protest or, you know? I don't know if that made any sense or not. But.
No, it did. No, it made a lot of sense. Patty, what are your thoughts about that? In your experience, what is enough, what is too much as far as people at one clinic?
Well, I agree with almost everything that Donna said. I believe that our goal is, especially as women, that we actually want to reach the aborting moms and their babies. We want to have one-on-one conversations. We are responders and nurturers. That's how God created us. And our desire is to make relationships. That we're just driven by that passion. So we want to have an opportunity to have some intimate conversations with these women. And it would be very intimidating, obviously, to have a mass of people chanting or yelling or shouting or, you know, the hustle and bustle and the distraction. Would be hard for us to connect with the individuals that are actually coming to the place where we want to reach women in the name of Jesus Christ. So I understand that, and it's always been a conundrum for me, because on the one hand, I believe that every time they're murdering children, there should be thousands of Christians standing outside these places to keep anyone, any single person, from being slaughtered. So if you knew people were going to be dragged to slaughter at a place, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, surely believers in this city, in this state, should be rushing to try and prevent the shedding of innocent blood. So there should be thousands of people trying to prevent that. But since there isn't, anyway, there aren't that many people who are, going to find it convenient to go to the places and really get in the way to intervene for these children. I do believe, by the grace of God, God's a God of order.
Yes.
I believe it's possible by the work of the Holy Spirit that if the Lord were to raise up a large number of people who want to come and place themselves in the way of the mother bringing the baby into a place to have the baby slaughtered, I hope that by the grace of God we would learn how to conduct ourselves with dignity and with honor. And I think there is a way to work in a team, even if the team is pretty large, to get in positions so that you're not overwhelming women and you're not keeping them from having a conversation with one of the missionaries who is there to speak with her. So I think there's a way. For instance, if you had a lot of people show up, you could have them standing across the street praying. They could have signs across the street, not lifting their voices up. But obviously it would take a lot of organization,
sure,
unless the Holy Spirit just did it, you know, and everybody just knew what to do. But usually it takes quite a bit of time of people, individuals, and I know you found this probably too, Tony, that when you work with a team, even of evangelists, you know, there's some planning that needs to go, there's prayer,
yeah,
and then it's good to have maybe a leader or two and people who can help people to learn how to conduct themselves at a place where you're at a missionary outreach. So I have, you know, very mixed feelings about it. I believe that the more people that come, the more opportunity there is for people to learn how to share the gospel. I think when you have a few, you can only have one person speaking at a time, and that's extremely important. And
yes,
that's called sidewalk etiquette. And we try to help people to come to understand that. And we learn as we work together more and more, and over many years as a team, that when we arrive at the killing place, we all go to the place. We decide either ahead of time or right at that moment, we just decide what part of the sidewalk we're going to stand at. And then we disperse. And so nobody talks to anybody, and wherever there are people coming, if someone's coming from one direction down the sidewalk, there's someone up there to address her. If someone's
good
coming from the other way, you know. So there's a way to do it. But, you know, it's a challenge. It takes a lot of patience. And
good. That's good.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. Absolutely. And also, too, if you get enough people, if you have enough people who are saying, look, I want to come, I want to stand out with you guys, you know, you can certainly also create a schedule. Like, you guys come from 8 to 10, and then you guys come, you know, I mean, you do want a lot of people. It was just that for us that particular day,
it was chaos.
Overwhelming. And John can, you know, definitely probably say the same thing. It was crazy.
and plus, I'm sure, Donna, that particular day, you were dealing with a lot of well-intentioned people that you didn't know from Adam.
No, and that's for sure. And we would like to know people who are going to come and show up from now on. So I would encourage anybody who wants to start this, you know, this type of ministry, you really need to know the people that you're standing there with.
Amen. Amen. Now, Donna, you have your children in front of the Planned Parenthood with you. What are some of the pros and cons, if any, to having children participate in this kind of intense and more often than not thankless ministry?
Well, I shared the last time that I truly believe that my children are learning to be a soldier for Christ.
Amen.
They are learning how to handle persecution and to pray for those who revile us. You know, as a homeschooling family, we get questioned, you know, about sheltering our children, you know, and this ministry shows my kids the real world, and it's helping them at this young age. And my children right now, I have my 8-year-old Ethiopian son, and then I have my 11-year-old twins, my daughter 18, you know, who comes out too, but the younger ones at this young age, they're learning how to live in this world, and they're learning what the world is, but they're also seeing that they are not a part of this world, and they realize that now. They truly are seeing the difference between us and the world. And so it's been a great lesson for them to see all of this. The only con, you know, obviously is the amount of swear words and vulgarity and crudeness and the anger that they're seeing, but I'd rather them hear it there while we're standing in the trenches sharing the gospel of Christ. I'd rather them hear that language there than on TV and movies and video games.
There you go. Very true. Good point. Now, Patty, we have just a few minutes left in our time together. Can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming training you and Scott are doing down there in Florida in February?
Oh, yes. And it's funny, as we were just talking about, you know, having a large number of people, and this is one of the things that Scott and I have been talking a lot about and talking with John Dallas about, since we're all going to be descending upon Orlando Women's Center, which is the killing place where John is a full-time missionary. And he also appreciates, you know, order. He wants the Holy Spirit to have time to work. He preaches and shares the gospel and lets the word of God work on the people. He likes to have some time where people just can think. And so we're going to be bringing, I believe at this point we have probably about 40, maybe 45 people who are going to be coming in from all parts of the country, and someone coming from New Zealand. And they're going to be shadowing the seasoned veterans. And what we're going to do, we're going to instruct them to be quiet. And we'll instruct them how actually to stand so as not to intimidate any of the people that we encounter and we want to share the gospel with. And we're going to bring them to the abortuary each and every day of our training and spend the day on the street at the abortuary so that they will be exposed to all kinds of situations, and they'll be able to watch how the Lord has taught John Barrows to speak, how he has taught me to speak, and Scott, and we have other seasoned sidewalk missionaries who've been doing this for a number of years, and everyone has their own giftings and their own personalities and experiences that they bring into the way that they minister. So it's going to be a beautiful time. Some of the people coming in have already begun, by the grace of God, to go out to killing places without having had any training. And they've been doing it, and God's been helping them. And I know that we're going to learn a lot from these people because they're dependent upon Jesus Christ. And that's where all true wisdom is found. And so I know that it's going to be a blessed time. We're going to pray that the Lord saves many babies alive and that we are given the opportunity to share the gospel with hundreds of men and women and children that week.
Now, are you still taking registrants for the conference, or is it full?
Well, we are full for the building that we've reserved. And I guess we'd have to prayerfully consider if we had other people that were inquiring about reserving another building. But at this point, we're full.
Okay. All right. Now, is this something you're planning on doing annually?
Well, Scott's already talking about doing one again, or maybe even traveling the country and doing them in different parts of the country. But I'm pretty intimidated by the whole thing because I am I am very handicapped when it comes to organizing things, and I don't have any administrative gifts at all. And so I'm
Scott's a schoolmaster. So
he flies by the seat of his pants too. So
that's true.
We both are like that kind of people. Yeah, so it's, but the Lord will help us. So Jesus has always helped us. We're stepping out on the waters, and the people that God has selected, we know the people who are coming in are people that I have been so anxious to wrap my arms around because I've met them, a lot of them on Facebook and never met them face to face. So I'm just so excited about having an opportunity to be with these precious men and women. And so we're very excited about that.
Well, I want to thank both of you ladies for taking the time to come on the program with such very, very short notice and your patience with that. It's been a blessing to have both of you on again. And I look forward to having you ladies on again sometime very soon.
Well, thank you, Tony, very much.
Thank you for having us. God bless
you
and your work and the inspiration and encouragement you are to folks like me who are just rookies in this effort. So God bless you both, and may the Lord bless your work out there in front of those clinics.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
Care.
Love you, Patty.
Love you too, Donna.
Now,
miss
you. Know, we could probably work it out to put you girls still on the phone, but offline, off the show, so that you can continue talking. If you like.
That'd be great.
We don't want to ruin a good thing.
I know.
We'll let you girls work it out.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Patty and Donna, two of the sweetest ladies I think you'd ever meet. And you know what? If memory serves me right, I've yet to meet both of these two ladies in person. But, I mean, I feel like they're dear sisters in Christ. You know, I've known them through evangelism circles and, things like that and Facebook and what have you. Been following their ministries. They've been following mine. And the evangelism community, the biblical evangelism community, is a pretty tight-knit group. And so conferences like what Patty talked about, I knew it was true with the Ambassadors Academy, is, you'd meet people for the first time at some of these events, but because of all the communication online and through other channels, you feel like, it's a family reunion, and you've always known these people, and you're just seeing them after a long time when, in fact, you're meeting them for the very first time. We are waiting for Rich to get one of our last two guests on, and then we will bring them both on to talk to them. And, in fact, while Rich is working on that, I'll go ahead and share the introductions for them. And I hope you're encouraged by the show. I hope you've received some good information, some good tactical information, some good practical information, and just been encouraged to get out there. So we've talked to Marcus and John about the new documentary coming out, Babies Are Murdered Here. We've talked to two ladies with experience in the trenches, Patty Smith and Donna Ebert. And my next two guests are Mike Peek and Edwin Lowe. Both are street evangelists. Both are open-air preachers. But both are relatively new to this kind of ministry. They're like me. I've only been doing this since July. And so I'm certainly a rookie in abortion clinic ministry. We'll start with Mike Peek. Mike was saved in 2009. He lives in Tyler, Texas. I actually did a mission trip to the police department in Tyler, Texas, probably about six, seven years ago now. Preached at a very large Baptist church there and rode with the different agencies in that area. It was a wonderful trip. But enough about that. Mike lives in Tyler, Texas, and for 16 years he's worked as a registered nurse. In January 2012, Mike was convicted to step out the door and herald the gospel. He began to carry an Are You Ready cross, and on Good Friday, he preached in the open air for the first time. Mike began looking into the matter of abortion in 2012 and the inconsistencies while working as a nurse, of jumping through hoops to save unborn children when the mother was ill versus unwanted children being murdered in abortion. What a dilemma that is. Through a series of events, the Lord brought together a unique team of believers, Mike and his wife Darlene, Jason and Amanda May, Seth and Jonathan Capps. Seth is going to be one of the team leaders at the Super Bowl Outreach. Together they started in November of 2012, speaking up for the unborn through the preaching of the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a unique team of six believers, four of which are nurses. And wow, what a stacked team that is, to have that much medical experience and knowledge on your team. One of whom is a labor and delivery nurse, and one woman who had had an abortion at the clinic where they now go, and she had that abortion in 2007, and she's now outside ministering to the women going in for abortions at the same clinic. That's amazing. The clinic they go to is the Hope for Women Medical Clinic in Shreveport, Louisiana. And then Edwin Lowe. Edwin is a Laotian who was born in Thailand to a Buddhist father and a Mormon mother. In 1980, his family was brought into America by an elderly Mormon sponsor. At the age of 12, he was baptized into the Mormon church, yet struggled with the extreme standards of Mormonism. Edwin felt he could not live up to the rules and laws that they had taught, and he had asked a lot of questions but never received any answers, at least none to his liking, and he was confused, disappointed. Eventually, he would turn away from religion and into rebellion, rock and roll, drugs, that kind of thing. He knew he was going down the wrong path and cried out to the Lord to deliver him from his sinful life. His family had lost respect for him, and he was at an all-time low. He was completely lost without hope, but the providential hand of God connected him with an old friend who was a born-again Christian. Before long, Edwin repented of his sins and was soundly saved. He now spends the majority of his time sharing his faith and teaching others. Edwin has been part of the biblical evangelism community certainly for as long as I have, probably longer. He lives in Mesa, Arizona, where he met Jeff Rose. And Edwin now serves as one of the leaders of Jeff's ministry, Jeremiah Cry. Edwin would later meet his wife, Anna, and the two were married in 2010. And I believe Jeff Rose even officiated that wedding. They now serve the Lord together, seeking to please and glorify God with their lives. And they are honored to be part of Jeremiah Cry Ministries and what God has done in their lives. And they have been out sharing the gospel outside of abortion clinics as well, but not too long. When I asked both of these men to be a guest on the show, they both asked why. you're talking to John Speed, and you're talking to Patty Smith and Donna Hebert, and you know, why do you want us on? Well, the specific reason I've had these brothers on is because they are new to this ministry. And it's like biblical evangelism. When the street evangelist gets up in front of the church to tell the church how easy it is and that they need to get out there and they just need to, you know, step outside of their comfort zone, it comes across a lot different than their friend who's as scared as they are, who comes back from their first night out going, wow, I can't believe I've missed this all my life. I handed out my first gospel tract. I talked to my first stranger. You got to come out with us next time. That oftentimes carries a lot more weight than the experienced evangelist. So for those of you who've been, who are now frightened because John and Marcus and Patty and Donna have got you feeling appropriately and significantly guilty for doing nothing regarding abortion, we're going to have Edwin and Mike put you at ease a little bit. Because they're nervous to me, scared being out there. I'm nervous every time I go out to that place. And so with that, I want to welcome Edwin and Mike onto the program. Thanks, guys, for being brave enough to come on and tell us how new you are.
Thanks for having me.
Great. All right, so now the questions I'm going to answer for both of you. So to keep you guys from stepping on each other, we'll try to do this. We'll have Edwin give an answer, and then Mike. And we'll try to bounce back and forth after. All right, so starting with Edwin, describe your thought process that led you to start out with your abortion clinic ministry. How did you get started?
I got started from hearing about it from a friend over here in Arizona that we go out with. She actually started doing it a couple months ahead, I think in September. And I was back there prepared. I was going out preaching at the college or something. And she said, oh, well, pray for it too, because we're going to abortion clinic, you know, not that far away from where you're at. So I was like, oh, I didn't know you went there. You know, I really didn't know where the abortion clinic were at. I didn't know if anybody was doing it. I think a couple of years ago, I wanted to try it out, you know, because I figured, can we just preach the gospel there? You know, I don't really know all what to do. You know, I can, you know, approaching these women, but I know if I can preach the gospel, you know, God's word will come back void. Anyway, I heard about that, and I said, hey, can I tag along sometime? And they were going on Thursday, which I worked Thursday, but I was able to get off Thursday of last week, and I just wanted to get my feet wet. And, you know, have the Lord use me.
Wait. Edwin, we're talking last week?
Yeah.
Wow, that's as new as it gets. All right, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like I said, I wanted to be available, and I wanted to go and share the gospel and see how it was done and if the Lord would use me as well and another friend of mine. And it would, you know, hopefully glorify God. We should try to preach the gospel, saw a little bit of how the abortion ministry works and how to plead and how to really pray and give out, you know, you can give out tracts if you can. And so, you know, we're praising God after we were able to do that. So my friend said, well, they killed babies on Saturday too. Like that has been for you, you know, can you work during the week? And I said, yeah, I'll try. Maybe I'll gather some people from the evangelism community. And so this Saturday, I went out and I made some emails, and I had 8 people come out. So we tried it again.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. So I'm just trying to step out in faith. And were coming up to me, the Christian, you know, saying that they were convicted to me as well. I haven't been doing anything for a while. You know, I'm against abortion, but I didn't know if anyone did it. But thanks for having me. And I'm like, well, same with me. I don't know how to do this.
Hmm. And Mike, how about you, buddy? How did you get started in abortion clinic ministry?
Well, I had always kind of...
What's your thought process leading up to that?
I had always kind of called myself pro-life, but never really looked into it that much until recently. I had taken care of several women as a ICU, cardiovascular ICU nurse, that had heart disease and also were pregnant. And I noticed the incredible hoops that we would go through to protect the child that this mother was carrying. And at no time in the process was ever the mother in danger because of the baby. It was always the other way around. The baby was always the one in danger because of the mother's health.
Hmm.
So that caused me to do some investigation. I began to look on Facebook and whatnot for people that were doing abortion ministry so I could get an idea of how to go about that. And then I used my nursing research skills, looking through figures through the CDC, and found some things that just absolutely horrified me. So I knew I had 2 questions. One was based on the gravity of man. So I assumed that the majority of abortions would come about because of sexual immorality. So I had 2 questions. One was, what percentage of abortions were based on sexual immorality? And number 2 was, of all babies conceived in sexual immorality, what percent are murdered in the womb by abortion?
Wow. Okay. So what did you find?
I found out that at the very minimum, the figure's probably higher than this, but at the very minimum, 75% of all abortions are the result of sexual immorality.
Wow.
And 40% of
Mike, now when we define sexual immorality, we are looking at this through a Christian worldview, and that would be sex outside of marriage. Any type of sexual intimacy that is outside the bounds of one man with one wife. So 75% 75% of the number you found, these were all people who were being promiscuous, either single and fornicating, or adulterers, or something like that.
That's correct.
Okay, and then the other number?
The other number of all the babies conceived in sexual and immorality, what percentage are murdered in the womb by abortion? And I found that figure to be 40%. So if your mom and dad were involved in sexual immorality, you have a 40% chance of being killed.
Wow. And so what did you do with those numbers? How did that make you feel?
It made me realize I had to go do something. I had to go speak up. I wound up writing about this. I'm actually in the process now of writing a nursing article about it because the fact that it's got to be the number one health issue in the nation.
Wow. Okay. So how did you go from doing that research to standing outside an abortion clinic trying to save lives?
Well, one of my coworkers, I had been witnessing to and talking with, and he actually wanted to start open air preaching with me, and he had let me know that his wife had had an abortion several years ago and always wanted to go to an abortion, just a particular abortion clinic, and try to talk women out of having abortions. So with him, and I had already been in ministry with Seth Capps, the three couples, we decided to start going together to Shreveport. It's about 100 miles away from us. So we've been going there.
Wow. Okay. How long have you been doing that?
We started around the 1st of November.
Now, obviously, there's a personal attachment for one of the ladies to this particular clinic.
Correct.
Are there many clinics closer to you than 100 miles away, or?
There is not. Actually, the closest is this clinic. The next closest is in Dallas, which is a little over 100 miles away. There is a Planned Parenthood in Tyler. They do the morning after pill, but that's it.
Okay. So Edwin, with it only being about a week into your into this area of ministry, what have you learned so far?
I learned that you have to trust in the Lord. You know, step out of your comfort zone. Do as much research as you can, and pray, and read the scriptures. But also
Edwin, what kind of research did you do?
Or are you basically doing? Information, you know, I talked to John Speed, following his ministry, I've looked at your article, anything, you know, videos, the abortion matrix, any resources that I could get that, you know, really can help a person like me or anyone else who's trying to figure out how I can get out there and get the gospel.
Now, you've been open-air preaching for a long time. What are some of the main differences you see in this type of proclamation and standing on a box, you know, on a public street, drawing a crowd, or just heralding the gospel?
I can see the spiritual battle is a lot more heavier because I've never, you know, I preach a sermon, but I also have to keep in mind these women are going in there and I only have a couple seconds to really call out to them and really share my heart and plead with them and say, hey, this is for real. I'm really pleading with you. Don't go in there. And I know, you know, the Holy Spirit and God give us that, you know, compassion that, hey, this is really happening. This is not a game. This is not, I'm preaching to preach. I care for you. I love you. And all I can do is share the word and you know, pray that you would come back and come over here and talk to me. So it got really real for me in that sense. You know what I mean? Besides normal preaching at a bar or you know, it's different. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
No, No, I hear what you're saying, and I very much agree. I mean, I've been open air preaching, and like you, different states, different countries, you know, different environments, but nothing has been like preaching or pleading outside of abortion clinic. Mike, what are some of the things you've learned in these first two or three months of your ministry out there in front of the clinic?
I've learned several things. Like you said, it's not like open air preaching. Well, the first time I went there, I thought that's what I was going to do, and that's what I started doing. I learned one thing is you got to be quick. You've got to be clear in your message. It needs to be short and to the point. And the law is very important, especially the sixth and seventh commandments.
Now, what are some of the things? I know you're relatively new at this, Mike, as I am, and your vocabulary is going to develop and expand over time. But what are some of the things you say to the women or the men and women as they're walking into the clinic when you just have a few seconds to talk to them?
Something what I actually developed and said today, because I figure I got about 10 to 15 seconds, I say, your baby is a gift from the Lord. Adultery and all sex outside of marriage are sins against God. But there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent and believe in the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Repent and believe. If you go and abort your baby, you both end the life of your baby, and you become a murderer. And all murderers are part is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right. Very concise. And to you, what are some of the things that you have said to people as they're, as you have just those few seconds before they walk in the door?
Hey, ma'am, can you come over here, please? We got some free resources and some stuff on adoption. You don't have to kill your baby. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Can you repent and believe in the gospel. Apparently, they don't care about you or your soul. They just care about your money. But we care about your soul. When you're going to die, you either go to heaven or hell. You need to repent and trust in Christ. He can forgive you. So please, can you come over here real quick?
Now, have either of you experienced yet, and this doesn't happen every day, so if your answer is no, don't worry about it. Have you experienced yet in that pleading where people have actually paused to come over and talk to you? Edwin, how about you?
Yes, praise the Lord. Actually, Saturday that happened, my friend was preaching, and a couple, a guy and a girl, were getting out of the car about to go into the clinic, but the guy stopped, and my friend jumped off his stool and met up with him in the hallway. The girl kept going in, and she went in, but the guy stayed for a while, and then he went in, and then we were preaching a little bit while, and then we came back, and then the couple came back out probably about 15 minutes later, and I guess the girl was like, she was emotional and screaming at us and yelling. Like, I don't know what she was saying, but our team was saying, please come over here, ma'am, you know, calm down. But from what I heard, I asked my friend that preached and walked up to him, the guy. Mm-hmm. He said that the guy was convicted, he didn't want to do this, but he thought he had no choice, and, you know, he, you know, broke, and he didn't know how it's going to go. My friend said, you know, there's a way that he recommends, but that way is best. You don't have to do this. And he actually grabbed one of our pamphlets, and the guy took it home. So we don't know what happened.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. And you gotta rejoice in moments like that. I mean, obviously, they could come back the next day or even later on in the day, but at least for that moment, that child is not being murdered. Mike, how about you, buddy? Have you been able to engage anybody in conversation? Has anyone stopped or turned around and knocked on?
We've been able to get several of the fathers to come over, but not the mother. Well, even had a young man that had brought his sister in and was able to actually get him to go in and talk to his sister, but she didn't come out.
So we got just about a minute or so left, guys. Edwin, what would you say to a Christian who's listening to the program today? They're scared to death about trying to go out and do this. What would you say to encourage them?
I would say to pray for labor and pray for themselves. You're not alone. I mean, there are plenty of resources. If you just do your homework a little bit and pray and ask people around your church community, don't give up. And just continue to, have that fire to want to get the gospel out. And God, he'll have his people, rise up. You'll find someone. God is always faithful. You'll be able to find someone, so just don't give up. I mean, we have plenty of resources, and, just try to give glory to God in everything you do.
Amen. Mike, how about you, buddy?
Open up your computer, type in under Google, abortion, and the closest clinic. Just go. And herald the gospel.
Amen. Hey, well, I want to thank both of you guys for being on the program with such short notice and stepping outside of your own comfort zones to come on and talk live on the radio about these new ministries that you're involved in. And I really appreciate both of you taking that step of faith and being out there to try to save the lives of the unborn and the souls of those who would kill them.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you both. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have just a few minutes left, and again, this show was put together in a matter of hours, not days, like we do with our weekly program. And I can't thank Brother Rich enough for the way he handled the phones and put together all of our, got all of our speakers where they needed to be at the time they needed to be. Just a masterful job, Brother Rich. Coordinating all of these calls. I think six guests is the most we've ever had on, and with no breaks for audio or anything like that. So well done, Brother Rich. And I hope you are encouraged today. A lot of Christians are going to talk about the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and what a blight it is on our nation's history and how wicked our nation is for allowing the wholesale murder of 55 million of our nation's citizens. But we have to do more than be upset. I mean, I spent a lot of years upset. I spent a lot of years voting pro-life. I spent a lot of years, going to walks for life. And those are all important. And don't stop doing those things. Don't stop supporting crisis pregnancy centers. Don't stop voting pro-life. Don't stop, your conscience from being pricked by these things. But it's time to do more. It's time to do more. Look, we just talked to a brother who drives 100 miles one way to the closest abortion clinic to try to save lives. If you're out here in Southern California, my friends, there are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of abortion clinics, and there are nowhere near enough people to get to all of them. So go on to the internet, click Planned Parenthood, click your state. These organizations brag about where their clinics are. They have disgusting infomercials on their websites telling women how wonderful an abortion is and how saintly and strong and amazing they are as women to choice to slaughter their child. So we need to be out there speaking the truth louder than Planned Parenthood and Family Planning Associates and other organizations are speaking lies to these women. So please get out of your comfort zone and do something. We do what we care about. And if you're not doing anything to try to save the lives of unborn children and bring the gospel to those who murder them, then you don't really care about this issue, because we do what we care about. I want to thank you for joining us on this special edition of of Cross Encounters Radio, and let's hope we don't have another 40 years of the slaughter of our most innocent citizens, the unborn children. And until Sunday night, we'll be back on this Sunday at our regular time. Be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel.